Yeah, you know, that's that whole, as you said, that's that element of glorification of the hustle, of the busyness. You know, we glorify that. And we're like, you know, when people ask you, "Hey, Tamara, how you doing?" You're gonna say busy, and they're
So
gonna say, "Oh,
busy.
it's good, good, it's good, it's busy, you're good." Well, it's how busy. You know, obviously, it's not about,
Yeah.
you know, the thing about it, it's how you need to reframe your view of productivity. You know, it's not about how active you are or as much as you can do. It's the same thing like working out, for example. It's not because you're going to be working out 7 days a week for 5 hours a day that you're going to gain more muscle. It's actually the opposite. You're actually going to have less results because of it, because you're going to burn yourself out. And it's the same thing as an entrepreneur.
Hey everybody, Tamara here with Inside Launch Trade. I am once again super excited for today's guest, and here's why. As you all know, as everyday innovators trying to push the limits, trying to be innovative and creative, trying to kind of reach a higher level of performance, one of the foundational elements of that is your productivity and how efficient and effective you are. Not how busy you are, because that doesn't get us anywhere, and we're going to dig into that, but how efficient and effective you are. So today's guest is all about that. He sent me this amazing book called Done by Noon that I picked up and then was up till 3 in the morning reading, which, if any of you know me, I usually get up at 4, so that ruined that.
Sorry for ruining your sleep, Tamara.
So welcome to the show. Why don't you introduce yourself to those of my guests who don't know who you are?
Right. Well, thank you so much. Really happy to be here with you. Well, first, I guess like the way to describe who I am, I'm an entrepreneur through and through. I've built multiple seven-figure businesses over the past, we're going on almost 14 years now, full-time 12 years building businesses, mostly in the health and fitness space. I'm also a competitive, a past competitive physique athlete, and that kind of dictated what we're going to talk about today as well, about performance and productivity. I sold my last company in 2016 by Optimizers to FA, and then I created Effic. So Effic is helping entrepreneurs become more efficient and effective. So I pretty much help entrepreneurs optimize their work by understanding, you know, by optimizing, by channeling their inner, you know, creativity and brain craziness, and channeling it into a system that we've built in Effic. And yeah, other than that, French Canadian guy, live in New Brunswick, Canada. Married, two kids, two daughters, Charliana, 7, and Michaela is gonna turn 3.
Oh,
And yeah, that's it about me.
that sounds good. So first of all, I have so many questions, but let me just start off with this. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I just want to bring this up because you were a competitive athlete and you still, I'm assuming you're still deep into fitness. And I am not competitive in the sense of like, do I really care if I win? But competitive in the sense of like, I do competitions. I was training for an Ironman, which I just found out got delayed. So I got to figure out my new training. But the reason I bring that up is because one of the lessons I've gotten out of kind of really getting deep into training is how to use my time efficiently. Because people will say to me, well, how do you have 3 hours a day to train? And it's actually amazing how much time you can find if you don't do the things that you don't need to do, or if you don't lollygag, for lack of better way. So I have to imagine that helped you learn how to use your time efficiently too.
Yeah, you know, 100%. I think that was, for me, coming from a sports performance background helped me tremendously as an entrepreneur. That doesn't mean I haven't fell in the trap of, you know, working hard. Basically, like, it's funny because I made all the mistakes I made, you know, early on, you know, training, for example, thinking that the more I'm going to train, you know, the more muscles I'm going to have. I kind of did that, you know, at one, you know, actually multiple times in my career. The thing is that when I had that tendency, I was able to quickly catch, you know, the mistakes that I was doing, and then coming back on track and developing systems that, okay, why this time did I fall into the busy trap? Did I fall into, you know, got into the burnout zone while I know better than that, right? So it's just like the amount of years of being an entrepreneur and under, or I would say not understanding, but really understanding, you know, what it takes to really have a sustainable aspect. And I think, you know, when you look into, I come from the bodybuilding space, right, which is very extreme, and I would say, you know, not addictive, but it's very, it's intense. And I feel like entrepreneurs are a lot like that. You know, they're going to, it's all or nothing. And some, it's so, so easy to just fall for, you know, yes, 120%, you know, on it. And, you know, when you start in a physique world, all you want to do is just build as much muscle as possible. You don't think about longevity and sustainability. And after a while, you know, as you get older, you know, getting into my 40s now, you know, it's a different game. You think about longevity, you think about sustainability. And I feel like sometimes you need to fall in order to understand that, you know, it's not something that entrepreneurs are going to, prevention is never a great thing. We wait until, as humans, we always wait until we have something to fix it.
You know? Yeah. I've definitely learned, because I'm well into my 40s, that recovery matters just as much as the time I spend training, which I would say my 20s, it would have like recovery. Recovery means like I just worked out for 2 hours. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I want to ask you a question about this. So I love the book. And the reason I love Done by Noon is because it was a really tangible book where I could say, okay, here are some systems and some structures I could take away from it. But I want to dial it back for a second. I actually want to talk about why Done by Noon and your systems are important. Because what struck me about it that I really want all the listeners, all of us to really pay attention to is it wasn't about white knuckling and being busy. In fact, you're saying quite the opposite. And, you know, kind of, I think one of my big takeaways was, first of all, it's okay to be done by noon if you've done the right things versus, you know, I think, let me give you an example. Way back in my career, I got in trouble with a boss because I left at 4 every day, but I got in early and I did my work and I did it well. I was just super, I was good at prioritizing the things that mattered. That's always been, fortunately, a skill of mine, but I got in trouble because I wasn't busy, right? I wasn't like running around the office crazy. So I want to hear your perspective on kind of how that difference plays out and why it's so important and how you think about it from kind of this perspective.
Yeah, you know, there's that whole, as you said, there's that element of glorification of the hustle, of the busyness. You know, we glorify that. And we're like, you know, when people ask you, hey, Tamara, how you doing? And you're going to say busy. And they're going to say, oh, it's good. It's good. It's busy. You're good. Well, it's how busy. You know, obviously, it's not about... Yeah. You know, the thing about it's how you need to reframe your view of productivity. You know, it's not about how active you are as much as you can do. It's the same thing like working out, for example. It's not because you're going to be working out 7 days a week for 5 hours a day that you're going to gain more muscle. It's actually the opposite. You're actually going to have less results because of it, because you're going to burn yourself out. And it's the same thing as an entrepreneur, because we entrepreneurs, like we no one's really like gets into business knowing what it's going to need to take in order to perform. Like we just figure it out, you know, as we go. And the key here is that we go in business, we start our businesses for one thing, and that one thing is freedom. And I divide freedom into three freedoms, right? So freedom of time. So we want to do things when we want. Creative freedom. We want to work on the things that we want. And third is financial freedom, when we get, you know, well paid to do so, right? That's usually, it's always the main factors why, you know, we want to start, you know, a business. And obviously we do that because we know that we have as well a solution that can impact and help people, you know, solve the problem, right? So, but knowing that, that's the starting point. But when we get in business and we start getting some success, we tend to really drift, you know, of course, we tend to really have forgetting that we went in business for this, and then we get sucked into doing all the things that we never anticipated that we would do. Yeah, exactly. So now, and also the culture, like you meet the entrepreneurial culture, and the culture is like, yeah, you know, if you work long hours, if you work all the time, that's what it is. And, you know, that's the way to go. And they like, you know, you're going to wear a badge of honor if you hustle all the time. And I think it's reframing the way we approach work. You know, I think working hard is a given. Nothing happens by being lazy or by not working hard. I mean, you know, what if you're into sports, like you're not going to perform if you're doing it half-ass or if you're just like, you know, slow and lazy. You know, working hard is a given. But then people are going to say, oh, well, you need to work smart. Well, obviously not working smart is dumb. You know, it's not either or. It's like, hey, learn how to work, you know, efficiently, you know, how to work well. It doesn't make any sense to do something and doing with, you know, velocity, but not worrying about the form and how you do it, right? When you work out, like, let's say you do bicep curls, it doesn't matter like how fast you're doing bicep curls. You know, what matters is that doing the right reps and doing the right movement.
I was just saying, you fast know? Sometimes actually works against you because you're using momentum and not actually building.
But there's a time and place to work fast. You know what I mean? But I mean, it needs to be engineered in some ways. It needs to make sense. So the reframing comes from working right. You know, understanding what you're trying to accomplish and understanding, okay, well, you know, what's the right amount of time, energy, and attention that I need to, you know, to put in? What's the right mix?
So if we're not working busy, which I'm totally on board with, by the way, and I think I suffer from that too. And I think part of that is, and whether you're an entrepreneur, I think in a company, it's like when we are lacking results or don't know what to do, we just keep doing. Yeah. And it doesn't help. I know it's like being in a riptide, right? You swim harder, but you don't actually get out of the riptide. In fact, it pulls you back even further. So yeah. I think that's part of the reason we do it is because we don't know what to do. Maybe we don't have a clear vision or direction, or we just feel like we're not getting results. So we're like, clearly we're just not working hard enough, right? We got to keep going. So let me flip it for a second. What are the two types of tasks that we should be focusing on daily to double our productivity so that we're doing all those things right that we just talked about?
Yeah. So there's four types of tasks that we identify in the book. And the two main tasks, the two very important tasks that we call the power moves are, one, what we call the rocks. So the rocks are the tasks associated with your projects. So the tasks associated with growth and innovation in your business. And these types of tasks, you know, obviously we all agree that innovation, you need to innovate in order to grow. Like, that's why we're entrepreneurs, you know, we need to create and build. So the problem is that when you get busy and you work from, you know, in a reactive environment, you tend to focus on the things that you need to feel that you need to do right now. And then the very important things, the innovation piece, gets neglected, right? And then all of a sudden the project that you said you would accomplish by, you know, this quarter, like, it takes 3, 4, 5, you know, takes a whole year to accomplish it, right? So you need, first of all, to understand like what needs to be accomplished, and then you need to set up in your schedule, you know, obviously chunks of time dedicated specifically to moving forward every day. So we show you actually how to break down, you know, your projects into bite-sized actions and then incorporate that into your schedule. So you have that discipline that you build over time, and then it compounds, you know what I mean? Like, it just builds, the compound effect makes that, hey, you have growth and innovation in your business. So that's one type of task. The second type, part of the power moves is the routines. So routines are all the tasks that are associated with, you know, the operational well-being of your company. So all the recurring tasks that you will have to perform day in and day. So it could be like daily tasks, but it could be monthly, it could be weekly, it could be monthly, etc. But those are the things that you do that, you know, if you don't do it, like, your business is not going to run properly, right? The problem is that as we get busy, we tend to spend a lot of time as well on these tasks because we need to actually either do them more often, or there's just more of, you know, these recurring tasks, like, I don't know, like shipping products, or could be doing accounting, or, you know, these type of tasks that, you know, you have to do in for your business to operate. And the key here is to understanding what you as a founder, as an entrepreneur, how you can best contribute, knowing that you will have tasks to do day in and day out, but which ones do you need to pick? Which ones do you need to keep that are really associated with your skill set? And what are the ones, and those that you might want to actually, you know, learn to do better, but mm-hmm. The key is the ones that you're not great at, that you're subpar, or that could, or just the ones that don't make sense financially, you should find a way to delegate, outsource, or automate them. We have a chart that we share in a map that we share in the book that show you our, yeah, if you want to show it, but that shows actually.
So I wanted to talk to you about it.
Is that, yeah, that so one? That's the, Yeah, that's the impact matrix. So that shows you really like the impact. First of all, the impact that you're going to have with these tasks, yeah, and also the amount of effort that you're going to have, that you're going to need to, that you're going to need to provide in order to perform these tasks.
So I've got a couple questions for you. I'm going to delve into this impact matrix, because what you're saying is really kind of the top two parts of that, the high impact, high, right? Those are the ones that really matter. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I find, and I think this is true whether you're an entrepreneur or inside a company, is so I think a lot of things are rocks or routines that really don't have to be. So I feel like a lot gets pushed into that bucket, because maybe it's because we're afraid to let it go. Maybe it's because we don't know. Maybe it's because we're not really clear on what is going to get us, push us forward, versus just things that have to be done. And I'm curious how, Dave, you think about putting the right things in those buckets versus everything. Because I guarantee you, if I sent this out to some people, everything they do would end up in those buckets. And then I'd be like, wait, no, it can't be. It can't possibly be everything. And actually, I'm assuming, right, that just dilutes our ability to be productive and to get it done across the board.
Yeah, but you know, you really need to take, and in the methodology we tell you, like, hey, you know, take a week or two to just dissect the way you work, like document how you work, you know, spend a week actually say, okay, by, you know, from that time until that time, this is what I did. And then you're going to understand, you know what, you're going to see patterns. So you're going to see the things that you keep doing day in and day out. So for some entrepreneurs, it could be like, there's just too many routines right now. The routines meaning that there's too many recurring tasks, and that prevents me to actually create or doing other things, right? So now you have to look into this. When it comes to just creating, for example, when you're just in creative mode, but then operationally, like it's not working, you're going to have, the problem is that by neglecting the processes and the procedures, you're going to have a high influx of reactive tasks. So that means that a lot of things you didn't anticipate will fall in your lap, and then, you know, fires will start, and then it's the never ending story, right? So the bottom part of the matrix are what we call the drifters. So one, the reactive tasks. So the tasks that are, that will happen. You know, it's inevitable that in a business you will have reactive tasks. That there are things that you'd never anticipated, and you're going to have to perform or take care of. So you have to be very careful of not having the reactive tasks dictate, you know, the rest of you know, the amount of work that you do. But also, one thing you have also control over are the responsive tasks. So everything that is associated with communication. And that's a massive problem in businesses today, because we're all online now. Like all the businesses are online. Everybody's on Zoom. Everybody's on Slack. Everybody's on different, like on emails. And there's not, I would say, things are done differently. The problem is that, let's say you have too many Zoom meetings and you can't focus on doing the right things, or you have too many emails and you just can't, you know, focus because there's always that incoming, you know, amount of communication. So they both feed each other, but they are going to make you drift from what's really important, which is innovating, but also making sure your business runs properly and well, you know? So, So anyway, like I can't remember like how I drifted from the original question, but
you just drifted. See, did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking about the matrix, because you were talking about the rocks and the routines. And I was saying, well, what if people put everything in your rocks and routines? The drift is kind of interesting. I'll tell you, I have a client who they were struggling with always on Zoom, always on Slack, always on whatever systems they were using. I don't remember which ones they were, but she actually instituted office hours. So instead of people being able to ping her all day, they'd wait and come to her office hours. And what she found was actually twofold. One is she found that she wasn't distracted, so she got deeper work, better work done during the day. But the other thing was, people often solved their own problems before coming to her, so they didn't even need, so the need to connect with her for whatever that was actually went away, because they figured it out in the time while they were waiting. So it actually made people more accountable for their work anyway. It was kind of an interesting dual thing. I'm curious, when you think about your schedule, like how do you set up your schedule so that the drift doesn't take over? Because to your point, I think all of us have fires that come up in a day that we frankly just have to deal with, small and big. But I feel like, and from kind of reading the book, that part of that is also how you set up your calendar as well, kind of dictates how these things happen.
Yeah, because you need to, there's an element, there's always an element you can't control. You know, there's an element of reactivity you are not going to be able to control. However, I believe that you can control most of it, or you can control the amount that will fall on your lap. So the key for me, I'm a classic Done by Noon practitioner, meaning, and you know, that's the thing with Done by Noon too. You know, you read the book, it's not about being done by noon. You know, that's it's like the 4-hour work week. It's not about being done in 4 hours a week. That's not what it is. You know, you don't judge a book by its cover. But what the question that I ask in the book is, if you had until noon every day to, you know, work on the important things in your business, how would you arrange your schedule? So there's two things, like people who think they have too much on their lap, they're going to be, oh, I don't know, I'm going to wake up at 2 a.m. Well, it doesn't make sense. Obviously, it's not sustainable. This is not how you're going to achieve sustainable performance. How you can set it up so it's manageable on the long, for the long, you know, the long term. So first of all, I always prioritize my rock. So there's always a block of 60 to 90 minutes every day dedicated to performing an action that is directly related to a project. So you got to be proactive. If you want it to work, you got to be proactive and understanding, okay, here's the workload that I have. And now I've broken it down into, you know, we could talk about the big rocks, the small rocks and the sand, but I've broken my projects into actions. And every day, here's one piece that I'm going to extract from my bucket, from my workload, and I'm going to be working on it. And this just a block of time for that. Same thing with your routines. You're going to realize that you probably have a lot of things you keep doing, you know, day in and day out. So a number of routines that you have that are going to be preventing you from actually, you know, being done by noon because you have just too many tasks, incoming tasks. So it's understanding which ones you really need to keep and which ones that you need to actually start looking at delegating, looking at outsourcing, automating, because truth is, a lot of entrepreneurs are going to rationalize that by saying, oh, I'm saving money because I'm doing this myself. Well, are you really?
Yeah.
You know, there's an opportunity cost to all that. And in the book, we use the example of bookkeeping, for example. A lot of, you know, solopreneurs still do their own bookkeeping, but it takes them hours per week.
And probably not done well, to be honest.
Not done well. It's going to cost them more than what they think. And we have what we call the drifting cost in the book. So we get you actually to calculate how much it is actually costing you, you know, as an opportunity cost. And so you're going to need to be very aware of that. And truth is, you know, if you do that, like if you keep these tasks, and just for sake of keeping these tasks, and because you're insecure about, you know, giving that to someone else, etc., start with the ones that you know you can, which are the ones that you're really not good at.
And there are experts out there so easily for you, like bookkeepers, you know?
Yeah. If you suck at something, someone's great at it. If you hate doing something, someone loves doing that thing, right? So it's just excuses that we have. And so you have to be very careful and you have to protect that time. So for me, for example, I keep two routines every day, usually, you know, 30 minutes or so per routine. And that's my thing. I focus on it. So there's a social media one that I have every day where I feed my social media and work on my personal brand and also like the Ethic brand. And also there's different tasks, like for example, KPI reviews on Tuesdays. We have the team meeting, like we have what we call the momentum meeting, which our team meeting on Monday morning, which is our routine, you know, of the week. And we channel as well the reactive task a lot within this meeting. We have a full system called Fiona's Desk that we use to do that to prevent, you know, the reactivity. And you're 100% right. When you talk about emails or communications, when you schedule communications, when you have these office hours or whatever you want to call them, but that window of time when you're available, people will, you know, they will understand what's urgent and what's important. Yeah. The problem is that, and I talk about in the book, that's why we use the impact matrix and not like tool like the Eisenhower matrix, for example, because the Eisenhower matrix, filters tasks based on importance and urgency. But guess what? If you, most entrepreneurs don't know what is urgent or important. Everything falls into that bucket of, you know, got to do it now, you know, and it just disrupts the whole structure. So I actually don't really like it. It works in the context of being under fire. You know, Eisenhower was an army general, you know, so in an army context or a war context, it can work because you're under fire and you need to make quick decisions all the time. But for most entrepreneurs, that's not the case. You know, it goes against proactivity. And the key is to be as proactive as you can and be as, you know, and understand when there's reactivity, when to assess that. So time for your communications and specific time and number of tasks that are reactive that you're going to take on every day.
So you just gave me a big aha when we were talking about the urgency problem. Is I think also, whether, again, entrepreneur, I think often other people's urgencies become your fires and it may not actually be urgent. So I was just thinking about, so I do a lot of virtual keynotes, used to do live, now more virtual, but oftentimes they'll say to me, can I have your slides in 2 days? And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta get the slides done in 2 days. But I recently, what I found is, hey, would you mind if I gave them to you Friday instead of Wednesday? That'll give me more time to just polish them off, right? I've got two big things coming. And they usually say yes. It is rare that urgency sticks. And it just made me realize that I think part of our struggle is that we let other people's urgency, which is often false, become our urgency. And we actually have to make it work.
99% of the time, it's false urgency.
Yeah.
You know, one thing to
somebody else's urgency, it's not even ours.
No, but you have to, like, you need to groom, you know, like, especially when it comes to communication. Like, for example, email, there's two ways to go about it. You can say, like, if you don't reply fast to emails, you know, like the world's going to end. And that's just, it just builds anxiety too, you know, because you're going to keep your eye on your inbox all the time because you're going to be afraid of missing an important, you know, email, where realistically, what is really important or urgent? So one little thing that you can all do in your inbox is set up an autoresponder saying, hey, thank you for emailing me. I only reply to emails from, you know, this time to this time each day. If it's about this, please contact this person. If it's about this, please contact this person. So you direct the communication flow to the right person. But there's one thing that I do in my emails is that I give my personal cell phone numbers in my autoresponder. So I'm like, hey, if it's an extreme emergency, here's my cell phone number. Give me a call. You know how many calls I receive?
Zero, like barely any.
None, because people are like, okay, well, they put it in context. Okay, well, no, it's not a life or death situation. It's not urgent. And my team knows that if it's not when I talk about an extreme emergency, like server crashes, for example, something happens, we get hacked. I mean, and it happened over the years, you know, that all these things and we need to act fast. It happens. But guess what? Most of the stuff that we think is urgent or even like important is not really. So we have a system that just takes these tasks and we put that on what we call Fiona's desk. And it's a virtual place where we put our tasks that we talk about on our weekly meeting. And from there, we direct the workflow. Like we're like, okay, well, this task, this is what it needs to do. Does it need to be done for? And who's taking care of that? And we direct the workflow that way. And it's fantastic.
So I love that. The whole false urgency, for all of us listening, I just want us to pay attention to that because I think we all fall into that trap. And it really oftentimes is somebody else pushing it on us. And then we pick up the urgency that doesn't exist. So push back. It is okay to push back. And frankly, I think it makes people on the other end realize like, oh yeah, Friday's fine. I just said Wednesday. Like they don't know. So they're creating an urgency and a fire for you that you don't need. I want to talk a little bit about for when you don't have the money or the resources, the team to do, like you can't delegate. There are two things that I did. I'd love to get your perspective on this because I was in that place when I started for sure. Actually, I was in that place when I was inside a company and they, you know, I wasn't approved for more team members. One is I only did those tasks that had to get done but weren't going to move the needle. Like they were kind of those small operational things or emails to respond to after 3, because that mentally for me is not my game time. All right. I'm a get up at 4 person. Like I'm a morning person. So like I knew that like I had a list of everything I was going to do after three. That was number one. And the second thing I did was I made Friday afternoons my all the other shit time, because yeah. I know nobody's calling me on Friday. If I haven't gotten to them yet, it's not happening, right? Like it's not my productive work time. So I would put it there. So I'm just curious your perspective on those little bit of hacks that you can do if you're not at a place where you can delegate, but those things still should, I would argue, should not be your priority.
No, you know, I feel how many things do you really want to do, you know, in your business? Like what's distracting you from your true focus and what should be really accomplished, right? Yeah. So that's why, like, you look into your rocks, you look into your routines, establish the ones that you really need to perform. And the thing is that once you have proper, let's take a routine, let's say you have to do, I don't know, let's say posting on social media and you hate it and it takes you time and you're not good at it.
And you're not a writer and like fill in the blank.
No, but there's someone that's actually really good at that. If yeah. you know, you're like, hey, I want to post on Instagram on this and on that. How, you know, is, and you have a basic process made. Someone can take that. You can also hire someone for very cheap to upload, like preload your posts, for example, even create posts for you. If you're proactive with the plan. So if you show exactly how you want that to happen, you know, if you just dumping is a big problem. I think a lot of people think that delegating is just like taking a bunch of things I don't want to anymore and dumping on someone else's lap. You do that, you're going to fail. You need to properly document what you're doing. You need to properly understand, you know, what needs to be done and what, and now you can start delegating. And then you're going to realize as well that there's so many tools now that you can use that can do things, a manual process manually now, very, very fast. So always looking into this. And I think it doesn't need to be massive investments. You know, it could be gradual. It doesn't need to happen overnight either. Like it could be a gradual thing. And the more you're going to reinvest some of your profits into that, the more you're going to grow. That's always the way it is.
So you just said something really quickly that I just want to take a second to dive into a little bit deeper, because I think it's so important. I once heard the phrase, and I'm going to botch it. I never get phrases right, but you'll get the point. It was basically like, you don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. It was something to that effect. And yeah. You just said, like, if you can't delegate, right, systems, like automate it to do it. How big of a role can that play? Because I do think there's a lot of things that you can streamline how it's done. If you just have a system, I mean, I love things like Calendly and Zoom, and they're all super basic, but if you figure out how to leverage those, I don't even have to create these meetings for the podcast. Like Zoom does it for me. I don't understand how, I don't really care. I just know that I know where and when to be because you've set it up as the guest. So like, we just talk a little bit about the importance of systems and how you see them.
Yeah. And you know, it is, you know, I'm not I don't like hacks per se, because I think like a lot of people focus on just adding hacks over hacks over hacks, but they don't have actually an overall system. But when you have, when you're clear on the procedure, on how things work, look into the element of that procedure, task one, task two, task three, and see if they can be performed, you know, automatically. So automation tools, you look at Zapier, for example. Zapier didn't exist a few years ago. Now you can pretty much hook up any, you know, piece of software with another one and create automations. And when something is done, it's like an if this and that type of algorithm, where if this is done, then this is done and this is done. So you don't have, like, let's say you and I, when I you booked me, for example, as a guest on your podcast, I went on your link, clicked the link, selected the time, perfect. It booked the time, created a Zoom link. And then I added it to my schedule. It was done. You can even send an email if you need information from me saying, hey, Dave, I need this, 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 and that. It can be done. And it costs virtually like nothing to do, right? It's just people is that because you don't know how to do it now that you should not actually not learn, but invest in a couple of hours of, you know, someone, hire someone on Upwork or on Fiverr and say, can you set that up for me? And they will do it. They're experts at that. And you don't have to.
And it took them 5 minutes. It took me half a day to figure out I couldn't do it. So, and it took them 5 minutes. I want to flip it a little bit. I've got a couple of things I want to ask you just in the essence of time. I really want to make sure to get these in because it's such a good conversation. One is, when you start to streamline your processes, get those systems, to your point, not hacks, I agree with you, those are like band-aids on band-aids, but like a real system. When you start to become, you know, kind of the two words that you constantly use is efficient and effective versus busy, how does that, and maybe if you can share kind of personal in your world or some of the people that have used your system, how does that open up your ability to innovate? And let me just kind of give some context to why I'm asking is I think, well, I've seen, it's not even my opinion, frankly, now more than ever, we need to be able to innovate across everything that we're doing and we need to change. The world is changing fast. Our customers' needs are changing fast. The competition, like it's all happening at an accelerated pace, sped up thanks to 2020. So how does doing all this, right, help you be that person, that leader, that entrepreneur that can then innovate and adapt? How does it add more space?
That's the thing. Space, giving you more space. Space is the word. Space is a magic thing, is the best thing you can have.
Space too.
It's not as an entrepreneur. Yes. Whether it's time in your schedule, like space in your schedule, but also more bandwidth, right? So here's the thing. I believe entrepreneurs are special. Like that's how I think. I think like we're practical artists who need to create in order to thrive. Mm. The problem is that our business operations become so demanding that we stop creating or we don't create as much as we should. So we're playing small. We're not playing in a zone of power. All right. We're playing in a zone where we're reacting, we're doing decent things, but nowhere near to our full capacity. You need to understand that, you know, the space that you're going to gain by having the right structure. So setting up a structure and doing it so that you have that space available. And you're going to see, like, if you look the way we structure projects, the big rocks and the small rocks and the sand, we show you actually how to get space, you know, but it's the same thing with your calendar. From there, it's understanding that if I can use time or manage my time to have that space in my calendar, manage my energy in order to have, all right, enough, I would say, well, energy and being there to perform, you know, not being always tired or always like,
yeah,
you know, and it's a thing. Energy management is tough, you know, over the year. Like the more you get, the older you get, the more you're going to have to pay, you know, attention, let's say, on that. But the third thing is your attention is actually how you're going to be managing what you're going to pay attention to, instead of trying to pay attention to everything. So learning how to manage that properly and having that bandwidth will give you more, say, RAM. It's like a computer, for example. Your brain is a computer, or you are a computer. If you see the beach ball on your computer and it's going to run slow, you know, because there's just too many applications open and it's just not going to work, you know, efficiently. And eventually your thing is going to crash after a few months, right? If you keep running it like that. But if you open up the RAM, now it's going to work fast. So the space you're creating gives you speed. So space, that gives you speed, and speed is the ultimate element for, you know, competitive growth. So the more space you're going to have, the more speed you're going to have. And that goes against saying that I need to do as much as possible, thinking that you're going to go fast. That's actually the opposite.
Yeah, I love that. You're speaking my language on this. I talk a lot about mental residue and how it keeps us from innovating. It's all that open tab. So yeah. I think we all need to really pay attention to how many applications we have opened in our brain. And that's why the whole multitasking is such a myth, and this idea that we have to do it all. And I think being comfortable putting stuff on a list and saying to yourself, I'm not going to get to this today, and that's okay. I'm going to focus on these things. And that's hard for us, right? We want to get it all done, but prioritization, I think, is such a key. I want to flip and ask an energy question, because you started talking about kind of energy and RAM. So here's my personal therapy question. Are you ready for it? So I burn hot or I'm not on at all. Like I'm on 100% or I'm off. And I've had people in the past tell me you need to manage your energy and stay more even. So I tried that. But then I lost my fire, right? And the fire is really what moves my business forward for me. Others, I think, are better at being even, right? But I'm like, woo, burning hot, and then I'm coming down. So I'm just curious, just in all the work you've done around giving entrepreneurs more space, I think you said it so beautifully at some point in this interview about how we're not living up to our full potential and playing in our power zones when we're so busy, right, doing all this stuff. How do you think about energy? And maybe that's for you personally or just kind of with the system. And how do you manage your energy overall?
Yeah. You know, self-awareness and self-respect. I think, you know, I talk a lot about self-leadership in the book, and I divide self-leadership into three things. So self-discipline, self-awareness, and self-respect. So self-awareness is understanding how you operate. You know, yeah. Entrepreneurs, it's not because someone says something or it works for someone that it's going to work for you. The problem that I saw, and that's why I wrote Done By Noon, is that I found that so many productivity, you know, approaches are so rigid that if you don't wake up at 5 a.m. and you don't do this and you don't do that, the whole thing falls apart. That's not the way it should be. We're all different. We all have different, you know, chronotypes. We all have different, you know, realities. You know, we all have different ways of modus operandi, like the way we deal with things. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between entrepreneurs, but you have to be aware on how you react to things. You know, I might be triggered by something that drains me, and you might be actually, for you, it might but energize you. You know what I mean? If you have kids or don't have kids, huge factor, right? Yeah. How you're doing? I mean, your sleep. How's your sleep? Your mental health? Like, you know, are you prone to anxiety? Things like that. I mean, you need to understand that in order to manage that energy. So one, be self-aware, and it's a never ending story because things change over time, and you know, your context will change always. And self-respect is respecting the limitations. You know, as you said, you can feel in a specific context, like very productive or very high energy. And in another specific context, you're going to feel, you know, a little bit down, and that's fine. And you know what? That happens now, but maybe in 6 months from now, it's going to be the opposite. Yeah. So it's understanding that you're going to need to adapt your schedule accordingly, right? And I think that's the main thing. And, you know, the self-discipline piece is always to having things, like being disciplined on the things that are going to preserve, you know, that energy. You know, if you don't sleep well, if you don't have good habits of sleep, for example, you're not going to perform that great. If you don't like exercise, for example, you're not going to perform that great. If you're not eating, you know, healthy foods constantly, you know, if you eat crap all the time, well, you're not going to perform that great. If you don't hydrate properly, you're not going to perform that great. It's a long-term game. You know what I mean? And it's a transition for a lot of entrepreneurs who just start pedal to the metal and they realize that, whoa, what's happening to me?
Yeah. Well, I really like what you're saying, that it's, we should work in the way that works for under a system, but work in the way that works for us. And I think kind of the reason I brought that up is I used to be so frustrated by the fact that people would try to change. They would try to change my energy flow to match whatever, like to go more even. And I love your system, and I started implementing some stuff. It works so well. And it allows me to be in the flow and in the zone and be like, you know, all engines firing, and then take the recovery that I need to do it again, versus trying to always play half-assed. For me, for other people, this place of even works really well. And I always envy those people. I'm envious of those people, because I'm like, wow, they're just so even. Like, how do they do that? But I can't seem to get there.
I mean, you can. Some people can just sustain, like, you know, but those are very, I think, routine-driven people. And I know some high-level entrepreneurs who have, you know, routines, but the truth is, I think, we have a great power, you know, of we have obsessive, you know, behaviors or tendencies. And it's very hard for an entrepreneur to be even keel all the time. Like there's a lot of up and downs. You know, the mental health, here's the thing. I believe that the mental health of entrepreneurs is not taken seriously enough. Like, I think we're more prone to depression, anxiety, ADHD than other like people, because that's the way. There's a great book called The Hypomanic Edge, and it really documents, you know, how the tendency of entrepreneurs to have these kind of extreme behaviors or extreme patterns in some ways. And it's something that you can fight or that you can actually embrace, right? So I don't think it's understanding, you know, respecting it, but also being self-aware on how you can best, you know, operate it. And once you do it, it becomes nice for a lot of entrepreneurs because, you know, it's like a lot, like, I don't know about you, but academically for me, it was a disaster, but I fought it, you know what I mean? Because it was like, I needed to have a degree. You needed that. And the parents like were putting a lot of pressure, but it was just not my place. It's just not how I learned. It's just not how I operate. Right. And I fought it for a long time until I understood that instead of saying, like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I love going to school or learn that way? It's understanding how I operate. And from there, having the self-awareness to do something about it and create the right environment for me to learn and perform. So it doesn't mean that because this is not good for you that you're not as good as other people, you know? So it's the same thing with everything that you do.
What's that old saying? If you judge a fish by how it climbs a tree, you'll think it's dumb. Or again, I always get them like 90% right. I never get them 100%.
My wife does that too. But it's good enough that I understand what you're saying.
It's something like that. So where can people go to connect with you and to learn more about your work at the book?
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about our work at EFFIC, you can go on our website, EFFIC.co, EFFIC.co. We're going to have all the links to what we're doing, the book, the planner. We have a certification now as well for business coaches that we can get certified on the methodology to coach people. If you want to see what I'm up to, daveruel.com, daveruel.com, or Instagram is the best place. That's usually the way I'm more active. So if you want to see the behind the scenes of my living in Atlantic Canada and my crazy life with two kids and a dog and a wife, just follow me there.
Mine are 12 and 16. So I've gone to like, and there are two boys. I've gone to different crazy level.
Yeah, I think you're different. It's a different level now. I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know, for me, it's like crazy, but it's not crazy. It's great, but it's, you know how it is. It just,
yeah.
I think people who don't have kids, that's the one thing that, you know, you think you know until you have them. That's so true. I mean, I remember thinking, oh, I'll do this. Like, no, you have no idea. You have no, and even if you're in it, you're still figuring it out. Like it's
every day is a new day. And I will say that at every stage of parenthood, I said I would never do whatever it is those parents with the older kids were doing. Like I'm doing it all, whatever it is. Yeah. I'm doing it. So yeah. I think it teaches you patience, the ability to adapt, and incredible problem solving skills because every day is just. It's just different from the debut. And it's wonderful for me, and it's not for everybody, but it's different, you know, every day is different. So
there's a parenting analogy that I always give to entrepreneurs. Like, who do you want to be to your business? Do you want to be a babysitter or do you want to be a parent? And the goal of a parent is to raise kids, to equip the kids and give them the structure that they need in order to do well when they're not going to be there. That's your only role as a parent. It's to equip your kid to be good, functional, responsible adults who can operate by themselves. And that's the way you should approach your business. You know, if you approach your business that way as a parent, you're going to win. If you're always there trying to be a babysitter or micromanaging what they're doing, it's not going to work. That's not how it is. So think about it this way. And I think it might, for the parents out there, that might reframe, you know, your thinking when it comes to, you know, your business and maybe your parenting as well. I don't know.
All right, this has been fantastic. What's your final piece of advice for all of us everyday innovators out there looking to be done by noon?
Be a good self leader. Take care of yourself. You know, your business is only going to be as good as, you know, you are. The business is all going to be as good as its leader. And, you know, self-leadership is an unselfish thing when you think about it. I think a lot of people just sacrifice themselves in order for growth or whatever it is. You know, take care of yourself and then you're going to be a better business leader always.
Well, that's great advice to end on, Dave. Thank you so much for joining us. I know I learned a lot from reading the book. Everybody should go get it. I think no matter what your entrepreneur position, where you are in your journey, where you are in your company, it helps you, as you said, make that space to be a stronger leader and innovator and business owner. And I think that's what we all need. So thank you.
100%. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.